This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
We've been talking a lot about P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, whatever his name is that he officially likes to go by today. And we've been focusing a lot on the investigation, a lot of the raids, a lot on what were they taking and why were they taking it. But I want to dive more into the mind of Diddy. I want to dive into the minds of those that enabled Diddy as well. And here to help us do that, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. It's a fascinating case with a lot of horrible actions that have been, he's been accused of. It's, of course, innocent until proven guilty. He's not been arrested as of the time of this recording, and he's denied all the allegations against him. But for the sake of this conversation, let's assume that the repeated lawsuits from all different parties might have some truth to them, that there might actually be some reality in what is being accused of Diddy. I want to start with trying to figure out, number one, where is he at today? We're talking about someone who does appear to be quite the narcissist, very much into himself, very much everything is about him, any sort of philanthropy and such always goes back to look at me, look what I'm doing. So we have that as kind of a base point for a mindset. After you have this sort of thing happen to you and you view that you are untouchable for all of these years and continue to engage in this sort of behavior, and suddenly the feds come knocking on your door, start taking your stuff, and you're still free, how do you think he's processing this right now?
He's used to being very grandiose, as you said. So in all likelihood, reality is still not hitting him, you know. So there's probably a lot of strategizing going on. Where can he throw money? And the assumption that he's going to beat it. We see that with people in trials often, where the evidence is overwhelming, but they're still fighting. You know, they think that they're above it all. We see it with political figures too.
Yeah.
You know, they get into trouble and it's like, oh no, you know, they're just not in the same reality zone as the rest of us.
Why is that? I mean, something like this, obviously he has not been arrested yet, but it is looking very, very, very dark, especially with the civil allegations that we've seen against him from many different people. It's a dark world that he had been involved in, allegedly. How do you not see that? Is it a matter of like almost self-conditioning to think you're above this for so many years and because you have gotten away with things for so long?
Yeah, getting away with things at a low level for a person like this who's basically a sex offender, getting away with things at an increasingly higher level, and then this belief that I'm untouchable. And so I think he's really convinced himself of that story and is probably still telling that to himself in his head.
Is this something where an individual like him will continue to tell himself that he's somehow in the right? I mean, almost like Alec Murdaugh, for example.
Very much.
Where he sits there, just keeps going, I didn't do this. All the evidence shows that you did do this. Once he does get arrested, and I'm just going to say once he does, because that's probably inevitable at this point. Is this something where a person who has a sort of grandiose, narcissistic type mindset, do they truly believe their own BS, I guess is the question?
Yeah, I think when it's this extreme, because all these things are on a continuum and some people are a little bit that way and other people are off the chart, if this all turns out to be exactly what has happened here, what we have alluded to at this point, then this is a person who believes his own BS and, you know, will have a very difficult time ever acknowledging that anything he did has harmed other people or was wrong. He'll always have a justification going in his mind.
Is that also part of what the motor is that drove him or drives him to the success that he has had, because of a lack of understanding other people or empathy for anyone else or care for anyone else, that he could just kind of go down roads that other people would be like, no, this is a bit too much. But if you keep plowing through it and nobody's stopping you, I mean, you can make some ground. And we see that a lot with a lot of high profile and powerful people.
Yes. Very successful people are often a bit narcissistic, and sometimes they're exceedingly narcissistic, which is really, really scary.
Why is that? Why does that work so well for them? And how does it then translate into power?
I think they're, because they believe their own BS, they can convince other people. And so many other people are a bit malleable and always looking for someone to follow and looking for someone to, you know, what we do with celebrities in this culture, you know, we mm-hmm. elevate them and we kind of adore them. And I think for all of us, it's nice to take a step back and really do some evaluating on, why do we give so much attention and power to maybe people who aren't really doing the right thing in the world? And I think it's something on all of us, again, as part of our culture. Why do we reward narcissism the way we do?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. It's almost celebrated, especially yeah. in ways like this where, oh, look, there he is. He's, you know, more money, more problems. He's got the cash. I mean, the songs were all about it. And being this grandiose figure. And obviously, you feed off of it. Is this something, I mean...
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now